There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, for more on this, let's talk to Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy joins us every single Monday at this time. He's always brought to us by Verizon. Phones were not made to be broken, but life happens. So when your phone breaks, Verizon's got you. Trade in any phone at your local Verizon store in any condition guaranteed and get a great deal on one of their best 5G phones with unlimited ultimate, the Diddy. He's the ultimate, Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Joe. How are you doing?
Happy, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
We got a season, Ray. And look,
Joe finally sort of believes in our quarterback today.
Well, I'm not as far down the track, Ray, as John is, but I was very impressed and encouraged with Jalen yesterday. What'd you make of his performance, Ray?
Oh, it was really good. It was just four straight games with a quarterback rating over 119. It's the first time in the history of the franchise anybody's done that.
That sounds outstanding.
So he's playing really good football. Yeah, and you know the bottom line on him is, of course, four straight games without turning the ball over. If he can just keep playing that way with the players they have on this offense, they're going to be a very, very hard team to stop. And we can talk endlessly about this game and about the performance of Saquon Barkley, which is becoming otherworldly by the week, it seems. But one of my takeaways from this game is just how good Hurts looks compared to the guy we saw at the end of last year. I mean, it's a stark difference. I mean, he now is moving and running and making plays with his legs more than he did last year. I mean, he looks now to me in terms of that kind of stuff. He looks like he did 2 years ago. I mean, he really, and I think part of it is Barkley. I think part of it is the fact that Barkley's in there and becomes such a big part of the offense that Jalen doesn't have to take the hits that he's taken before. And as a result, he's got a lot more quickness. He's got a lot more ability to run. And when he took off on that one run, when he just tucked the ball away and just started up the middle, it looked like the guy of a couple of years ago. And we haven't seen that for a while, but I think it's here now. And I think having Barkley in the backfield to lean on is a big part of that.
I totally agree with you, Ray. He does look faster and just more decisive, and it's great. What he did yesterday, what Jalen did yesterday was great. Ray, let's address the Saquon thing. We all know he's amazing. I love your term, otherworldly. That's a great one. I want to present what I think is a tough question to you, and I'm curious where you come down on our Twitter poll question of the day today. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. So, Ray, we've all seen thousands of Eagles plays. You've seen more than us. In my opinion, the best I ever saw, pure athletic, brilliant play that I ever saw, was Randall's touchdown versus, you know, Buffalo in 90, Bruce Smith evading him in the end zone, the heave to Fred Barnett, the whole thing.
You're right.
Our Twitter, because, and I'm not talking about like the Philly special, which is way more important, Brandon Graham's strip sack, way more important, like pure athletic brilliance and awareness that goes into it. Which play, Ray, in your opinion, is more impressive? Saquon's yesterday or Randall's in 1990 against Bruce Smith?
Well, two different plays, obviously. One's a quarterback, one's a running back. One involves a throw, the other one doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to, you know, to me it's not exactly apples to apples. But
you're saying, Ray, it's a tough one.
No, it is. But I'll say this. I've never seen anything like it. I've been watching football a long time, and after 13 years at NFL Films, looking through all the footage in that vault, I think I've pretty much seen everything. I think I've pretty much seen everything that's happened on an NFL playing field. I've never seen a guy do what he did yesterday. I've never seen a guy have a reverse hurdle of a tackler.
Yeah.
That I've never seen that before. But that's what this guy's capable of.
Is it sustainable, this level of dependency on Saquon, Ray?
I kind of think so, John. I kind of think so. I mean, look, anything can happen on any given carry. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that. But
yes.
I don't get the feeling that he's wearing down. I don't get the feeling that he's at risk. I don't think so.
If anything, right now, I like to imagine that he's more protected than he was when he was up in New York. I like to think
more.
That now he's got a better chance for, I don't know, like physical survival after.
But Ray, I'll say this. There is still a long way to go. I mean, assuming they don't get the one seed, which they probably won't, but could. You know, 8 games down, 13 to go to win a Super Bowl. I mean, he was getting pretty beat up yesterday. And 31 touches in a game is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. But I'm not. It doesn't scare me. I mean,
yeah.
I think
like that you're comfortable with it,
right.
Ray. I feel 31 touches. Well, really 30 touches officially.
But he had the one that got called back. So it was 31.
It feels scary to me
a little bit.
Yeah. But then I think about Ray's. We're talking about a workhorse back. Saquon Barkley has carried the load before, and
yeah.
Yeah,
all
he
right,
knows
so,
how to do this.
Ray, let's get to the QB sneak as the Eagles have evolved it. Are you worried that it...
Why did it break?
Is being figured out? Is that because you got a different guard in there? Is that because you don't have Dallas Goedert in there to push Jalen? Like, what do you make of that issue?
Combination of all of those factors. Teams have obviously studied this. And I think they have their own ideas. I think they have a better idea now of how to deal with it. And I think now that some teams are having success stopping it, defenses will actually. I think there was, especially over the last year, there was a feeling of almost resignation on the part of the defense that at fourth down they're going to line up and we can't stop them. You know, I mean we'll try, but you know they're going to make it. Well, now it's not so much. I mean now defenses are taking a look at the film and say, hey, teams are stopping these guys now, so they're going to line up with a whole different mindset than they were a year ago. And so the fact that defenses are better prepared for it and obviously study and prepare for it during the week and now we're having some success in doing that is going to make it tougher. And the other part of it is you do have different people out there. You know, you don't have Mailata, you don't have Kelsey, who to me was really the key to the whole thing. You don't have him. You had different right guard. It's different people. And so, I mean, it's both of those things at work. And that's going to make things, you know, I think they're still going to make it more often than they won't. But it does have to influence your thinking as a coaching staff during the games about where are we now and can we do this and know that we're going to make it. Now it's a more open question.
Ray, a lot of people upset with Nick Sirianni's decision-making yesterday. I wonder, do you think it's possible that he, in his decision-making, has been more aggressive in terms of going for it because his list of, you know, his list of assignments on game day has been sort of pulled back to where, you know, this is one of the things he really has, one of the few things he has left that he makes decisions on? Is it, and it's a decision to go for it or not to go for it in many cases that sends a message to his team when he says, yeah, let's go for it. Let's go for the touchdown on fourth down. that he believes in them, isn't it really difficult for him to resist that temptation when his, you know, his list of duties has been sort of restricted at this point?
Could be. I mean, could be. I think it goes beyond that, though.
He's being too aggressive with it because this is the only thing that there is.
I don't know how much that factors into it. I don't know that these decisions are made impulsively. I don't know that they're made on the spot. I think that they're stuff that this team talks about during the week. And I think it just comes down, it becomes part of the day-to-day operation down there. Look, we all know how much of the analytics, how much the analytics thing has become a part of what, you know, not just the Eagles, but teams throughout the league, hell, across all sports, is that kind of decision-making is being taken over to a large degree by the analytics department. And I think it's something that is...
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talked about in the building, not just on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when you have to make the decisions. You're talking about it on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going for it on fourth down. It's a fourth and three or less. We're going for it. Or, you know, the analytics tell us the 2-point conversions you're going to make them most of the time, and you're better off doing it. So we're going to do it, and it just becomes part of what you're thinking. It almost isn't. I think everybody thinks it's a spontaneous decision that's made on the spot. I honestly don't think it is. I think it's something that that you've talked about all week, and that's just kind of the way you're going to roll. And yesterday almost cost you the game. I mean, it really did. I mean, there was, if Nick had taken the easy points, if he had taken the two makeable field goals and just gone for PATs instead of 2-point conversions, they're up three touchdowns with 7 minutes to go. And guess what? Saquon Barkley's on the bench. Kenny Gainwell is taking those carries that you're talking about. You know, he's not pushing 30 touches. He's on the bench and he's perfectly fine with it. But you found yourself fighting for your life with 2 minutes to go in a game that you had fully in hand at the end of three quarters. And why? Because of the decisions the head coach made. I mean, there's no question about that. And so, listen, they're 6-2, and they're in great shape right now. I mean, they're heading down to Dallas to play a crippled Cowboys team. The week after that, they play Washington in a very big game, but they play them at home on a short week, which is always tough for the visiting team. Everything is really falling into place for this team right now. It really is. If you're an Eagles fan, you got to feel really good about where they are right now.
So, Ray, I hear you on a good chunk of the Sirianni thing you said, but I just want to push back on this one thing. Because I thought he should have kicked the field goal fourth and three, first half. I thought he should not have kicked the 57-yard field goal fourth quarter. But don't you think when the other team has a penalty and you can run a 2-point conversion from the 1-yard line with Jalen Hurts, this offensive line, and Saquon Barkley, don't you think he should? Even if three announcers in the booth say he shouldn't. Like, wouldn't you say 1-yard line, 2 points, or extra point, shouldn't they go for the 2 points?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I don't think it's as easy as just, yeah, sure, go for it. You know, I mean, in the situation that you had, there are so many situations early in the game. I mean, you're up 20 points. What's 2 points? I just take them. just take them.
Okay.
You know, you say, oh, we got the penalty. We're half the distance. We're right there. You can't be stopped. Yeah, you can, because you saw that yesterday. You know, it's this to me is a real and it's not just with Philadelphia. It's across the league now. It's become kind of an institutionalized way of thinking about these games, where I see coaches walk away from sure points all the time because they're either going for the bigger score, and winds up biting them in the butt. I mean, it wound up costing Dan Campbell a playoff game last year. You know, and that's an organization that is very much like the Eagles, which is very much analytics driven. And that led the Detroit Lions to a decision that maybe cost them a shot at the Super Bowl. And so that's the kind of way you have to look at it. I am stubbornly old school in many ways, in the way I look at the game, the way I approach the game. But that doesn't mean I'm wrong. And in the NFL, it is hard to score points. And when they're right there in front of you, take them. Okay? Mm-hmm. Unless you're in the fourth quarter and you know you're behind, and you know you're in a situation where, look, we got to take some chances here. We got to go for the bigger score. We got to go for it on fourth down here. Field goal isn't going to help us. Or in this case, yeah, we got to go for the 2 points as opposed to the one. That's in those situations, yeah, I understand why you have to do that. Why you have to do it with a 20-point lead in the first half of the game, I don't get that. If it's there in front of you, just take it.
All right, a couple quick final things here. How does the replay booth not rule Saquon Barkley down, that he was tackled and it's not a fumble? I mean, how do they not see that?
I don't know. I mean, to me, it was so obvious. I mean, I never, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, why is this taking so long? I mean, me, it was obvious almost from the moment it happened. I don't know how they blew that one. And that was one of the other things. Look, there are so many things you can discuss about Barkley's brilliance, about Hurts's performance, about Nick's coaching. so many things you could talk about with this game. But lost in that was, I thought this was a horribly officiated game.
Yep.
I really did. And sadly, that's become almost the way of life in the NFL. I mean, officiating in the NFL to me is really an issue, you know. And I don't know if the boys up on Park Avenue are how much time they've been talking about this or worried about this. You know, they're too worried about, you know, sending the Giants over to play in Germany. I mean, they're more concerned about selling T-shirts in Dusseldorf than they are about the state of their game, I suppose. But, I mean, these are discussions that they should be having at the highest level about the officiating. Because you look across the league, you watch games Thursday nights, Monday nights, whenever. I mean, the officiating is so bad right now. And yesterday's game, the Eagles game, I mean, there are a million things you want to talk about other than that. But there was a lot of situations in this game that just left me scratching my head. That was the biggest one.
Yeah.
Because that was a true game turner.
Oh, yeah. It handed them 7 points. It was a joke. It was like, here, take 7 points.
Right on the heels of them having scored. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it totally changes the game, and it's inexcusable.
Totally.
I mean, with today's technology, that's what the replay system was meant to get rid of.
Yep.
That was the kind of stuff that the replay system was supposed to take out of the game. Oh, we got replay. The call, get it right.
Yeah,
get
it right. Totally.
Well, there it was, and you got it wrong.
Totally. All right, Ray, two final things, and they're both, you know, big topics that if it wasn't after an Eagles game, we'd be doing the whole show on these things. Floor is yours on the Joel Embiid situation. Just whatever part of it, his comments Friday, the thing Saturday with him and Marcus Hayes, what are your thoughts?
I don't know what to make of it. I mean, Joe, I don't know where to go with that. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's a lot. I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's too much for me to try. It's too much for me to try to tackle in the 30 seconds you got left. So, I mean, here's the one thing. I'm looking at it from Marcus's standpoint. In my years in the business, in my years when I was a sports writer, the one thing that I never wanted to do was I never wanted to become part of the story. You know, I was there to write the story. I was there to cover the news, but I was not there to be the story. And not that Marcus intended to do that. Not that Marcus intended for that to happen. But that's where he found himself. And that's, you know, that's not an easy place to be. And I feel sorry for him. I got into it one time in my life, and it was not a. And believe me, it was before the days of talk radio. It was before ESPN. It was before podcasts and social media. So it wasn't nearly the brouhaha that this became. But I can tell you, as a reporter, that's a bad place to be.
And what about the Kelce thing? I mean, maybe that one's too loaded to unpack in 30 seconds also, but any thoughts there?
I don't, you know, I clearly the kid, from what I saw, and I just saw a little clip on YouTube.
Yep.
The kid at Penn State was way out of line.
Totally. No question.
The kid was way out of line. You know, Jason, he would have been better served to just walk away from it. I think that I can't think of anything I would always say to an athlete other than that. If in situations like that, if you're an athlete, you're recognizable, and you're recognizable to the degree that this guy is recognizable. You just gotta. If somebody shouts something, you just gotta let it go in one ear and out the other, and walk away from it. I mean, whether you go back and confront the guy, whether you smash his cell phone, whenever you engage, there's nothing to be gained by that. You're better off to just walk away from it and ignore it. And you know, Jason's become such a big celebrity now. I think where he goes, he almost needs security.
Yep.
You know. I think it's gotten to the point now with him and his brother. Well, his brother obviously has it when he's with Taylor Swift because she has her own. But, I mean, it's gotten to the point now where they are such huge personalities that when they're in those situations, when they're in those, you know, those TV situations or those event-type situations, it's gotten to the point now where I think he needs a couple people with him to just make sure that that kind of thing doesn't happen again.
Totally agree. Yeah, totally. Hey, Ray, stay well. By the way, reminder to everyone listening, interviews like this with Ray, Seth Joyner today at 9 to 10, they're all going to be posted on the Odyssey app. So if you miss any portion of the show, Sirianni tomorrow, Jaws tomorrow, Mike Quick this week, Brandon Graham, like all these what we think are, you know, pretty damn prominent interviews, you can always get them on the Odyssey app, including Ray, every Monday with us after the game. Ray, have a great rest of the day, pal. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, you do the same. Take care, guys.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.